This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it is 10 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning, the DTN General opening call to open the farm show today. Corn later this morning, 2 to 3 lower. Beans, 7 to 9 lower. Wheat steady to about a penny higher. The overnight crude oil market, 58 cents lower at 101.22, while the Brent crude, 3 cents higher at 118.96. The April gold contract, $8.60 lower at $1,719.50. The U.S. dollar index, 0.366 higher at 80.036. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat closed at 626. That was down 9 cents. May wheat closed at 634, down a nickel. July wheat closed at 646 and 3 quarter, down 3. March corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 627, down 6 and a half. May corn closed at 631, down 7. July corn closed at 634, down 7 and a half. March soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 1261, up 6. May beans closed at 1268 and 3 quarter, up 6 and a quarter. July beans closed at 1277 and a half, up 6 and a quarter. March soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 332.80, up 27. May meal closed at 335.10, up 26. July meal closed at 337.30, up 24. March soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 53.35, up 33. May oil closed at 53.71, up 33. July oil closed at 54.10, up 33. March oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 324.5, up 1.25. May oats closed at 318, up 3.25. And right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Wednesday afternoon with soybeans higher and corn and wheat lower. Soybean values were supported by the hot, dry weather forecast for Brazil and the sale of 116,000 tons of U.S. soybeans to China. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 to 7 cents lower at 619 to 635, while soybean bids gained 6 cents at 1236 to 1252. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 6 to 7 cents weaker at 632 to 650. Soybeans gained 6 cents at 1248 to 1264, and wheat bids mostly 8 to 14 lower at 611 to 636. In the St. Louis area, Country Elevators Mills reported corn bids 6 to 12 cents lower today, ranging from 628 to 635. Soybeans advanced 5 to 9 cents at 1246 to 1251. And wheat prices closed 11 to 20 cents lower at 620 to 631. Illinois River Barsletting Elevators quoted producer corn bids mostly 6 to 10 cents lower at 635 to 642. Soybeans gained 5 to 9 cents at 1265 to 1268. And new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery down 1 to 4 at 622 to 632. East St. Louis Barsletting Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 7 to 8 cents lower at 656 to 657. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 7 to 8 cents with quotations at 1286 to 1288. Soft red winter wheat dropped a dime down to 640 to 641, and the Milo ended 6 cents lower at 621 to 622. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
April hogs on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 88.90, down 72. May hogs closed at 97.90, down a nickel. June hogs closed at 98.62. That's 98.62, down 22. February cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 126.50, down 15. April cattle closed at 128.90, down 35. June cattle closed at 127.37, down a half dollar. March feeder cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 156.62, up 37. April feeders closed at 158.50, up a dime. And May feeders closed at 159.95, up 22. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Wednesday, February 15th, for the Eastern Corn Belt daily direct hogs, barrels, and gilts closed 80 cents lower, with a carcass-based price range of 78.41 to 82.43 and a weighted average of 78.51. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 18,900. Illinois direct barrel and gilt trade was steady at 56 to 61, and Illinois direct slaughter sales steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 48 to 54. 450 to 550 pounds at 51 to 57. Over 550 pounds at 53 to 58. Today's estimated receipts, 1,200, and Tuesday's actuals, 1,500. Pork carcass cutout, 88.21, and that is up $2.41. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection, hogs for today, 420,000. Last week, 421,000. A year ago, 422,000. A week to date of 1,263,000. Cattle for today and last week, both 120,000. A year ago, 131,000. A week to date of 367,000. Box beef cutout values were higher on moderate demand and light to moderate offerings. Total movement today, 175 fab loads and 69 trim. Choice at 189.38, that is up $1.43. Select at 184.27, and that is up $1.68. At the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville Tuesday, 230 head sold. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold 50 cents higher, with Holstein steers steady to 50 cents higher. Slaughter cows 1 to 2 higher, and slaughter bulls and feeder cattle lightly tested. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 125 and a quarter to 127.75. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 114 to 118 and a half. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 125 to 128 and a quarter. Slaughter cows, breaking type 85 and a half to 90, boning type cows at 75 to 81 and a half, and lean cows at 69 to 74, with slaughter bulls, your grade ones, at 85 to 85 and a half. At the Fairview Livestock Auction, 151 head sold yesterday compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers traded steady in a light test, with slaughter cows 1.5 to 2 higher. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 124 and a quarter to 128 and a half. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, a few at 109.75 to 114 and a quarter. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 125 to 127. Slaughter cows, breaking type 75 to 82.75. Boning type cows at 69.75 to 75 and a half. And slaughter bulls, your grade ones, at 84 to 87, high dressing 89 to 90. Opening report for the Greenville Livestock Auction, estimated receipts this morning, 310. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers are trading steady. Holstein steers 1 to 1.5 higher. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s at 124 to 127.5. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 119 to 123.5. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 114 to 120. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 124 to 125.5. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 117 to 123.5. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, February Class 3 milk closed at $16.12, up 2. March milk at $15.77, up 23. April milk at $15.88, up 15. February butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at $1.48, unchanged. March butter closed at $1.47.5, down a half. April butter closed at $1.52, down 1. Non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for February closed at 136 and a quarter, up a quarter. For March, 132 and three quarter unchanged. For April, 131 and a quarter unchanged. Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for block cheese, 148 unchanged. For barrel cheese, 148 up a half. For butter, 139 and three quarter, down a quarter. Non-fat dry milk, 133.5, unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk, $17.05. Wrapping up Part 1 of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday, here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for February, $6.38. For March, $6.34. Corn delivered to Scottville for February, $6.30. And for March, $6.26. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for February, $12.47. For March, $12.42. Wheat delivered to Scottville for February, $6.05. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield, $6.38, corn at Scottville, $6.30, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $12.47, wheat at Scottville, $6.05. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Whether you're in municipality, business, or individual, Carlinville Truck Equipment has the Henderson Dump Body, Snowway Plow, or Salt Spreader to fit your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment has its equipment ready for immediate delivery. Plus, as always, Carlinville Truck still has you covered for all your truck equipment services. Your repair needs, farm bodies, hoist, van bodies, lift gates, service bodies, or any other truck equipment you might need. Call them at 854-6706 or see them on the web at ctemi.com.
Hi, this is Kristen Bitter from M&M Service Company. Up until recently, the words convenient and financing didn't go together, but the FS AgriFinance program has changed that. FS AgriFinance enables you to secure financing through M&M Service Company for all your farming input needs. So not only do you save time, but your production needs and financial plans are all handled by people who understand your business the way you do. Ask about FS AgriFinance from M&M Service Company today. It's custom financing at your convenience.
And the local weather forecast for today, partly cloudy skies, high temperatures in the mid-40s with northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear and colder, low temperatures in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies, the high about 50. And your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower on Monday, low temperatures in the upper 20s, highs in the mid-40s. WSMI Weather Watcher, the Lang family of Coffeen overnight, 2/10 of an inch of rain, 3/10 recorded by Kyle Schmedeke of Irving here at the Weather Center overnight, 4/10 of an inch of rain. Right now, light northwest winds, the barometric pressure rising. We have cloudy skies, 40 degrees on this Thursday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment in Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. First of all, in our farm news today, red meat exports set records last year. From the United States Meat Export Federation, Joe Sheely reports.
This is Joe Sheely with the U.S. Meat Export Federation report. The final numbers have been tallied, and 2011 was a record year for exports of U.S. pork, beef, and lamb. USMEF President and CEO Philip Tseng discusses some of the key factors that helped lead exports to this record-breaking performance.
We eclipsed $11.5 billion in total red meat exports, and that to me is a significant accomplishment because that's far in excess of what anyone had predicted. It was very, very positive for pork. We were up on a value basis 28%. Some of the things that have really contributed to this would be our chilled programs that are very steady, the value-added programs that we're starting to work in around the world, especially in North Asia. You know, over the years, we've had this tremendous commitment by the pork producers through the checkoff, but also through soybean and corn. And as we've seen their contributions and their commitment to the international market increase, we've seen the increase in exports.
Tseng is hopeful that record beef exports can help reverse a decline in the U.S. cattle herd.
The biggest highlight, of course, on beef is the fact that we've eclipsed what our performance was in 2003. We're almost at $5.5 billion. We're up 33% in value. When you look at the value per head of over $200 now is a direct result of the export market. I think it looks very, very promising for the producer. And this is probably one of the biggest impetus for people to start retaining heifers and to increase the herd, because the value that's coming from the export market is actually driving the value in the industry.
And while the U.S. lamb industry is small, Tseng says there are exciting opportunities overseas.
Lamb actually has tremendous potential internationally. The plate cover that you have with American lamb is better than any other lamb that's produced in the world. And when you talk to chefs around the world and people who know our product, U.S. lamb is by far the premium lamb in the market. So we see this year's performance as basically a good baseline for where we can launch further as we go forward in the future.
For complete export results and the latest on other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
In other news, the 2012 winter has been very unusual. DTN Ag meteorologist Bryce Anderson explains some of the reasons for the mild winter.
The Arctic Oscillation feature, it's a pressure comparison between, say, the Azores Islands area just off the coast of Africa and extreme southern Europe, a comparison between that part of the world and then the barometer reading in Iceland. That relationship has been the complete opposite this winter of what we've seen in the past couple winters.
And over the past two winters, Anderson says that oscillation had been negative with higher pressure over Iceland and Greenland compared to stations closer to the equator. This year, that relationship is positive. Anderson says the southern part of the North Atlantic area has experienced a higher barometer reading, which has led to a more progressive jet stream track across the far northern areas.
The polar jet has not been pushed south into a track that takes it across the north central states like we've seen the last couple of years. And that's been a big, big difference. It's kept basically the upper Midwest high and dry. It's allowed for milder temperatures, obviously, and we felt that. But it's also meant that the round of precipitation has not been nearly as heavy as we saw the last couple winters.
It's been hard to find a so-called normal winter across the country, according to Anderson, except for parts of New England and northeastern Colorado. He says everywhere else has experienced strange behavior regarding the atmosphere.
The majority of the U.S. has had above normal temperatures. I mean, the month of January in itself was just incredible because across the contiguous U.S. During the month of January, the average temperature in the U.S., in the contiguous U.S., basically the lower 48 during January, was 36.3 degrees Fahrenheit. That was 5.5 degrees above the average that we had from 1901 through 2000. The fourth warmest January ever on record and the warmest that we've had since 2006.
Even with late winter snow, Anderson does not think it will be adequate to recharge soil moisture. The jet stream track probably won't have much change, he says, which is why he thinks everything will depend on spring rains.
On the one hand, that's going to be favorable in terms of field work because I think field work will get off to a good start and all that type of thing. On the other hand, it is going to make the situation very dependent on rainfall that doesn't take a long time to show up, and I think that we will be going into the 2012 crop season across the upper Midwest with a deficit of soil moisture.
That was DTN meteorologist Bryce Anderson. 6:28 on this Thursday morning, there's a right way to take a soil sample and a wrong way. Todd Gleason files this report on a new standard for an old standby.
The University of Illinois has long recommended farms be soil tested every 4 years. It helps producers understand the fertility of the land and what needs to be done to maintain and manage that fertility. The old standard for taking a test was to simply pull a spade full of dirt about 7 inches deep. That hasn't worked for a while, for about as long as the Mopar plow has been out of fashion. With a plow, ensured nutrients applied on the soil surface were mixed pretty evenly into the soil. No-till, conservation tillage, and strip-till have mostly eliminated that mixing process, says Fabian Fernandez from the University of Illinois. Now, the soil fertility specialist says it is a reason the way soil samples are taken has changed.
That's one of them. The other one is if you're banding the fertilizer, then you start to create these patterns of high and low fertility as you move across the field. When that happens, either one of these happens, you have to be really conscious of how you take a soil sample so that it will represent the fertility of that field.
So a banded fertilizer program, even a broadcast fertilizer program, requires soil samples be gathered in a much more precise way than in the past. 7 inches? It's not deep enough anymore, and a spade just won't do the job accurately enough.
It's not only the depth, but it is making sure that you represent each layer of that soil uniformly. If you use a spade, you need to make sure that typically what happens is we end up having a triangle, basically, when you take a soil sample with a spade, which will be wider on the surface and smaller in the subsurface. So the best option is to use a core, which will be a uniform diameter across.
The core should be 8 inches deep. The bottom end of the core should be low enough to compensate for the higher concentration of soil nutrients closer to the soil surface. Other than taking an 8-inch core, the rest of the soil sampling process is pretty much as usual, unless the fertilizer application has been banded. And that one's a complete soil sampling game changer.
And when you're doing a subsurface band, you need to make sure that typically people are doing it between 6 and 8 inches. If you go 8 inches and you only take a 7-inch core, you will miss that fertilizer band, which basically will result in lower values than the actual. We are doing some work right now in trying to figure out how to take a soil sample that will represent the fertility of the field as a whole with a 6-inch depth application for this band. And what we are finding is that you need to, for every sample that you take in the fertilizer band, you need to take 2 or 3 samples outside of the band in the composite that you make in order to represent that fertility.
If you're keeping track, that means those using subsurface banding for the fertilization program must pull 6-inch deep cores, not 8 inches deep. And for every sample site, 1 core in the band and 2 to 3 outside of the band. Here's one other note from Fabian Fernandez on soil fertility. He says there is no proof over many years and many trials that crops respond differently to banded fertilizer applications when compared to broadcast applications. It's just a lot more expensive to put fertilizer in a subsurface band. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
A couple of reminders. On this Thursday morning, the Central Illinois Livestock Feeders Association is having their annual dinner dance featuring the band The Fundamentals. This will be held Saturday night, March 3rd at 6 at the Witt Lyons Building. Tickets are $15 per person. That will include the dinner and drinks. For ticket information, phone 217-273-4768 or 217-556-6501. Former State Representative Bob Flyder of Mount Zion has been named Director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture. He served in the House Agriculture and Conservation Committee and was listed as a Friend of Agriculture by the Farm Bureau in 2006, 2008, and 2010. U.S. motorists have seen the national average for regular gas rise above $3.50 a gallon in just 3 different years, but it has never happened this early. The national average hit $3.523 a gallon, according to the Energy Department, up 4.1 cents from a week ago. That could be a sign that pain at the pump will rise to some of the highest levels ever this year, and it could top $4 a gallon. Remember, we'll keep you updated with the commodity markets throughout the day on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. The overnight crude oil market this morning, 58 cents lower at 101.22. Brent crude 3 cents higher at 118.96, and the April gold contract 860 lower at $1,719.50. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.